Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go. We weren't expected to be with you tonight because we thought we would have Cardinals baseball on the air, but instead it is a Graybar Sports Open Line because the Cardinals and the Phillies, they got rained out. They are going to attempt to play a doubleheader tomorrow. I say attempt because there is bad weather in the area of Philadelphia tomorrow as well. If all goes as planned, game times tomorrow. The first game will be at 12:05. You may have seen some tweets and some other things out there that said 12:15. Evidently, the Phillies first said that game one was going to be at 12:15. That is incorrect. So 12:05 is when game one of the doubleheader tomorrow begins. That means our coverage will start at 11:10 tomorrow morning. And if there's no rain and everything just goes along and all goes as planned, game two will take place at 5:15. So with that, here we are for Graybar Sports Open Line. We are here till 8 o'clock tonight. If you want to join the program, you can do so by calling, texting, tweeting, leaving a voice message, or by leaving a message on the video stream. To call or text, the phone number is 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That same number, whether you want to call or text, you use that number. Go ahead and just save that number in your phone, 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. If you are watching us on the video stream, on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube, you can leave a message right there. Or if you are listening to us on the Odyssey app, you can just go ahead and press the little microphone button and leave a voice message, and that comes to us as well. So many ways to get connected. We've got a lot coming up on the program today. In about 10 minutes or so, we're going to be joined by Mike Farron from MLB Network Radio. Look forward to talking with him and seeing his thoughts on what's going on with the Cardinals right now, who have won 9 straight games from a national perspective. How real is what's going on with the Cardinals? Brian Dunseth, who calls games for Apple TV and MLS Season Pass, he's going to join us at 6:35. We'll talk through City SC's matchup against Sporting KC. That's going to be coming up tomorrow night. It's a midweek soccer. And then Frank Cusimano, sports director over at Channel 5, he is set to join us at about 7:20, so in an hour and 10 minutes or so. And that's the plan of what we've got going on today. You know, in terms of the like legitimacy of what's going on right now with the Cardinals. And look, betting odds are not the end all and be all. And what betting odds are, you know, numbers that sportsbooks set more than anything else to try to get half of the betting public to bet on one side of it and the other half of the betting public to set to bet on the other side of it. So when you're using betting lines as a way to augment a point, I think more often than not, that can be a little bit flawed. But I do find it interesting because the Cardinals, and this is something I've just been watching, because I know how I feel about the team. I'm pretty positive about the team, but you know what? I've been pretty positive about the team all along. Like my take on this team has never changed, that the offense was going to be better than last year, and they were a winning team last year. So even if some other areas take a little bit of a step back, they were going to be a better team this year just because of what was going to happen from an offensive standpoint. And I think for the most part, that has essentially been true. The only time that hasn't been true is when the bullpen was really, really, really struggling. And at that point, the bullpen struggles were so pronounced that it was neutralizing out the other good things that were happening. But now that the bullpen is performing at a little bit of a higher level, not a little bit, a lot of higher level, the team is winning a bunch of games. And it's a right now thing. It's not a for sure down the line thing. And betting odds are indicative of how people feel right now. But as the team has been winning, and even before the 9-game winning streak, because the team had kind of started to, you know, make a half turn of the corner a couple different times. They would surge forward, come back, surge forward, come back. Like I was watching the odds, and consistently all season long, the Cardinals have had the fourth best odds to win the division. The only team that had better or worse odds, I should say, than the Cardinals to win the NL Central was the Pittsburgh Pirates. And yesterday it changed. I don't know what it was about, and it was staying that way through eight games or through seven games of the winning streak, through them being within a couple games of first place, with them being alone in second place, they still had the fourth best odds. And then yesterday it changed, and they now have the second best odds to win the NL Central. So the Cubs are considered the betting favorite to win the Central. They are minus 290 favorites. So it's for non-betting folks, essentially you have to you bet 290 to win a dollar, whereas the Cardinals are at plus 500. So with that, bet a dollar to win $5, essentially. So that's where the odds are. So the Cubs are still, I would say, heavy favorites to win the NL Central. But the Cardinals now have the second-best odds, and their odds are about twice as good as the team with the third-best odds. That's the Milwaukee Brewers. The Brewers, who had been ahead of the Cardinals in terms of betting odds, are now at plus 950 compared to the Cardinals at plus 500. So again, not betting odds, not end-all, be-all, but one of the things I want to hear from Mike Farron when we talk to him in just a few moments is if he is viewing the Cardinals differently based off what's happened in this 9-game winning streak. Because if I see the odds moving, that means there's other things happening where people are starting to buy into this team as being a little bit more legit from a national standpoint, or at the very least, the sports books are saying, well, we can get people to bet half on one side, half on the other. And the half on one side, half on the other thing doesn't work quite as much when we're talking about money lines as opposed to like point spreads, but you get the idea of where I'm trying to go with that. All right, speaking of Mike Farron, he is set to join us in just a moment or so. Don't go anywhere. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's a Great Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. If you're tuning in looking for Cardinals baseball, well, you're not going to get it tonight. They've been rained out in Philadelphia, going to play a day-night doubleheader tomorrow. So instead, we've got a full two-hour program, and that gives us the opportunity to talk with one of our absolute favorite people to talk baseball with. You hear him on MLB Network Radio. He is our friend Mike Farrin. Follow him on Twitter, Mike_Ferrin. Mike, appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm great, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Always good to be able to talk to you and certainly hear your voice. I remember talking to you a little bit even before the season got started, and you were certainly, as most people were, questionable about what kind of season the Cardinals could have. We're still very early on in the season, but a 9-game winning streak makes them look very good at 6:20 p.m. on May 13th of 2025. Has your opinion on this team changed at all as they've played probably better baseball than most people expected this year?
I don't know that it's changed as of yet. I mean, I certainly think it's encouraging that they've won 9 in a row and that they're over 500 and that they're right there on the heels of the Cubs in the Central, but it's still pretty early in the season. And I think probably when we talked, I said I didn't think this team was going to be terrible. I thought they were going to be okay. I mean, I think people forget that it was an over 500 team a year ago. I think the questions were more on just kind of the messaging of the direction, right? But They've given young guys an opportunity. I think the Victor Scott breakout has been super exciting. He's a different hitter now than he was really at any time that I saw him as a prospect or when he first came to the big leagues. And the fact that he's getting on base at the rate that he is to be able to use that speed, and he plays such great defense. You know, he and Mason Wynn give them a really dynamic middle-of-the-field duo, and I think that's really exciting. And then, you know, Brendan Donovan's been a good hitter in his big league career, a more impactful one than I thought he was going to be. I thought he had a chance to be a really nice reserve, but his strike zone judgment is so good. And so you've got these kind of building block pieces with a few veterans around them and still some guys that – you know, you're trying to get more out of, right? I think there's still a lot. There's a chance that there is much more to come from Jordan Walker, who certainly has improved his defense, which is great news. And, you know, they've had Lars Nygaard be healthy to this point, which is really good. But guys like Walker and Gorman, you know, still haven't really produced as of yet. And so we're kind of waiting to see that, because that's what kind of takes them from being this cool story to, hey, they're a contender. And the starters have done a nice job so far. It seems like they've really started to figure out the bullpen and some of the roles. Kyle Leahy's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I think there's some really good stories that are there, but I'm not quite ready to anoint them playoff contender yet. I'll say this. They are playing in the right division if they want to be.
They are, and I don't think there's a whole lot of separation between the top four teams until you finally get to the Pirates, where there is a little bit of separation. You mentioned Kyle Lahey. I mean, yesterday is a day where he goes and gets you, what, the seven outs, and he's a guy who has been a high-leverage guy for you. Like that, yeah. That doesn't really exist right now in baseball. High-leverage guys who can also pitch parts of three innings, we just don't see that very often.
No, and I think a big reason why, you know, I was talking to a GM and a manager about this spring, because one of the things that I'm a fan of that I wish would come back is the multi-inning reliever, right? I mean, maybe it's because I'm a child of the 80s, but I feel like it's a more entertaining product, one, with multi-inning relievers, and two, I think it gives you an opportunity to use your best guys in plus games, and then, you know, but kind of develop some other ones, right? The idea is you get your starters a little bit deeper and you go to your plus guys, and maybe your starters go a little bit further. And certainly I understand, hey, listen, like there is a better understanding of what happens the more back-end starters face lineups, right? That's where the third-time order through the order penalty really comes in. And there's only a handful of elite guys at any point. But that's something I was always a fan of. What Leahy did last night is pretty cool. But I think most managers would tell you that they'd like to have, and this is what the manager and executive told me that when we were having this conversation this spring was, you know, you want to be able to have those guys available for as many games as possible. And so by using Leahy the way they did, you know, they're fortunate that they had the rain out tonight. Maybe he's available for a shorter stint in the doubleheader tomorrow, but he's probably realistically not available again until Thursday. And so I get where they're coming from, even though I kind of prefer what Leahy did last night. But it was still pretty cool to see it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And strikeout Bryce Harper, like it was a cool moment. Mike, I was in Milwaukee for a while, and before Josh Hader became the one inning, ninth inning guy, that's what he does. You know, on nights that Corey Knebel or Jeremy Jeffress weren't available, you'd go ask Josh Hader to go get you five or six outs. And eventually, you're not going to make your money in arbitration without the saves, and they figured out the one inning role for him. But I agree with you. Like that's exciting and that's memorable. I'm going to remember the Kyle Leahy seven out game for a while.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, listen, it's also we are products of when we grew up, right? And so as relief pitching became more prevalent in the 70s and 80s, this is what we saw, right? So like Bruce Sutter rarely went just one inning when he was closing for the Cardinals, right? When Raleigh Fingers was there, there was a World Series game where Raleigh came in like the third inning and finished it. Sort of actually one of the reasons why I like college baseball is that relief aces tend to go multiple innings, sometimes as many as five. And that's kind of fun and old school. And I enjoy that. But I also can understand the decisions that front offices and managers make and why they have shortened those roles up, even if it's not something that I agree with.
This team is arguably the best defensive team in baseball. We've mentioned Scott Walker is vastly improved out in right field. He made a great play to finish things off yesterday. We know about Arenado. We know about Wynn. Wilson Contreras has become a plus defensive first baseman, just seemingly at the snap of a finger. And that's another, it feels like they're giving their pitchers that much more of an opportunity because all these outs are being made behind them.
Yeah, I'm still a little skeptical on Contreras' defense at first. I mean, I think metrically it's been pretty good. But there are a couple of things where he still doesn't seem to have much of the nuance of playing the position, which is understandable, right? I mean, he had played a little first and a little outfield, but really he's been a catcher. So I think there's probably going to be some growing pains from time to time. When you're going to see it, it's not going to show up in errors. It's going to be on plays where, like, he's trying to range far to his right for a ball that he has no business trying to go after because the second baseman is positioned well. And some of that is just feel and understanding the position. And that's, that's something that happens. But I do think, you know, listen, with Scott in center, with Walker's improvements in right, the catch he made at the end of the game last night was not an easy catch. The left side of the infield, really good defensively. And they've had better defense behind the plate, too. I think that's the other thing is that that trio has done a pretty good job. So I think those are positive qualities, certainly. And listen, they need to be good defensively because it's not a pitching staff, at least in the rotation, that's going to miss a ton of bats. So they have to play well defensively. But it's been great to see that at the start. And I love watching Mason Wynn play shortstop. So that's really exciting, too.
Matthew Liberatore is having a breakout year. He's one of those guys who they wanted to see what they had in him. They talk about the runway. They got him into the rotation, and he has absolutely run with it. He's always had that kind of thing around his neck being connected to the Randy Rosarena trade, but it feels like he's coming on. As you view him, where do you see this guy going? How legit is what we're seeing from him right now?
I mean, right now, the thing is, I haven't been able to watch one of his starts to this point, so I haven't seen it firsthand, but it certainly seems like he's getting a little bit more carry on the fastball, and that's something that he had struggled with, I think, as a professional. He had a really good fastball as an amateur, and I think he's starting to see better results on that some. I think part of it, too, is just the continued growth that comes with, being a young pitcher and getting opportunity, and that's where part of what their plan was to be able to give these guys an opportunity made sense, right? Is that you could see that there was a path to have for some of them to succeed. Some of them are going to struggle. Some of them are going to find themselves in different roles than they are currently. Some of them aren't going to make it. And that's kind of where the risk comes from. But it's also, you get a clearer idea of who's going to be part of it. And so things like Libertor taking that role, Graceffo, the job that he's done in the bullpen, is pretty impressive. So like those things are real important and really good steps forward, I think, for this club. And Libertor is kind of the poster child on the pitching side. Now, again, like they still need a rotation really outside of Sonny Gray. Nobody's an above average strikeout guy. And I do think that missing bats is pretty important. Now, again, they're kind of in the right division for it because the Cubs rotation doesn't miss bats. The Brewers rotation doesn't miss bats. The Pirates and the Reds do. Pirates pitching is actually really good, but the Pirates aren't really a threat because, they have a little bit of a trouble scoring runs. So I think it works for right now, but I think you're going to have to continue to see growth, and I think you're going to have to see his secondaries be sharp and all those little things over and over again.
Final thing for Mike Farron from MLB Network Radio. And bad week this past week in terms of good baseball men and Buddy Black and Derek Shelton each losing their jobs. And Pittsburgh and Colorado, respectively. I think anybody with a brain realizes that those are kind of institutional issues with those organizations and not managerial issues. But the Rockies on a historically bad pace. The Pirates, they were on a really bad run. But Pirates didn't do anything in the offseason to build around Paul Skeens. The Rockies have been one of the bluntly dumbest organizations in baseball for a very long time. Like, what can happen in these places where they're making money, but they're not doing anything to give their fans much of a product on the field?
It's unbelievably frustrating, and for completely different reasons, right? So, like, Pittsburgh, it's solely... they've been cheap. Their owner has not given them the resources that they need to compete. And while they may have lost a little bit of money last year, which is one of the contentions that an article made, they have over the course of the last several years pocketed an awful lot. And they were really, two bats away from being competitive with that pitching staff. I mean, they needed a corner outfield bat and probably, somebody else who and nothing against Andrew McCutchen, but who is an upgrade there, or somebody who could play second base. Like, if they could have gone out and played on, say, like Gleyber Torres and Anthony Santander, who are, Torres is having a really nice year for Detroit. Santander is not off to a great start for Toronto, but neither of those guys are bank breakers in terms of the money that they're paid, but are significant upgrades over what they have on their current roster. I think you would see a pretty big difference. They're not deep, so like their one big offseason acquisition, Spencer Horwitz, who's not a power-hitting first baseman but a guy who gets on base, has been out with a wrist injury, and that's had a huge impact on them because they didn't have anybody else that could really fill that role. I think that's one thing. What's going on in Colorado, we actually did a long breakdown on it today and went back and looked. They have done a terrible job drafting. They have done a terrible job developing and signing players internationally. Their player development is a disaster. And the bigger issue is that there is a lack of internal accountability where they all think that they're doing fine. They're not cheap. I would not constitute them cheap, at least when it comes to their payroll, that they have spent at a decent level. They just have been so insular for so long that there are no new and fresh ideas. Does this sound familiar at all with the Cardinals?
Yeah.
And bringing in Heim Bloom? Not to say that, I think John Mozeliak in that group was more adaptable, certainly, than what's been in Colorado. But it just has been, it's been a disaster. And this has been going down this route for a long time. I heard from multiple people in scouting and in coaching over the course of the last 2 days who said if they made wholesale changes, they would be interested in going to the Rockies because they think that there is a path to do it. Everybody wants the challenge of being successful there. And again, it's not like they have lacked for resources on their major league roster. They just have always been thin in terms of the amount of talent. And I've been as guilty as anybody of talking about the reputation of their amateur scouting department. But the fact is that it's been a decade since they've really produced. You know, the last, and this is a pretty low bar, the last 10 WAR career big leaguer that they produced in the draft, do you know who that is? It's Ryan McMahon.
Oh, my goodness.
He was drafted in 2013.
Yeah.
Like, that's 12 years ago. And that's a guy who, you know, he is, not to bog everybody down with numbers, but he's basically been a league average performer for 7 years. And they don't have, like, as much as everybody talks about Colorado's a great place to hit, their offenses have been terrible for a decade because they don't make good swing decisions. They also have a pitching staff that doesn't miss bats. They have completely ignored the way to win in the 2020s, and they have apparently no willingness to either A, learn how, or B, put the resources into how to develop the guys that they have to get there. It is an extremely frustrating situation, and it's not going to change until the owner decides that they need to go outside the organization to completely rebuild their baseball operations department. And I don't say that lightly. I'm not somebody who campaigns for people to lose their jobs, and I would hate to see Bill Schmidt lose his job because Bill is a legendary scout, right? They have Danny Montgomery, who's in their front office, is on the short list of the greatest scouts of the last 50 years. Danny Montgomery is amazing, but they need a complete overhaul, and they need to start trying to build a baseball team in 2025 and not 1975.
He is Mike Farron. You hear him on MLB Network Radio, does stuff with ESPN when it comes to college baseball. He's all over the place, and he's just a really, really good guy that we love talking baseball with. Mike, thanks for the time as always.
Always a pleasure, Matt, and thanks for not asking about Pete Rose. I'll talk to you later.
All right, very good. That's Mike Farron joining us on the program. We'll get into the Pete Rose stuff. That wasn't a conversation right there. We are going to shift gears. We'll talk some City SC in just a moment or so. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back in on KMOX, it's the Graybar Sports Open Line. We were not supposed to have a show tonight because the Cardinals were supposed to be playing. They have been rained out. They'll play a split doubleheader tomorrow. So we're really thankful that this guy was willing to move his interview from tomorrow to today. He is Brian Dunseth. He'll be the analyst on the City SC Sporting KC game that's coming up tomorrow evening over at Energizer Park. He joins us right now. Brian, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, man. Just getting ready to head to the airport and head to your beautiful city.
Awesome. We look forward to having you here. What do you make of this City team right now? They are a struggling unit for sure.
Yeah, I think for Olaf Melberg, we saw a lot of positives for the first couple of matches of the season, but that also coincides with a team and a roster that was a lot healthier than it currently is. Right now, I feel like it's margins. I mean, you go back to the game against San Diego a couple of nights ago, you know, if João Klaus scores that header in the opening minutes of the second half, it changes the game and the dynamics significantly. But it seems like, and I've been a part of these teams where you don't feel like you're catching a break. You feel like you're doing a lot of good things, but for one reason or another, there's a breakdown and you find yourself being punished because to be quite honest, in Major League Soccer, there's just not a lot of difference between a lot of teams. Teams are, for the most part, very similar in their capabilities of being able to punish kind of the smaller mistakes. So right now, it feels like, and I use this kind of during broadcasts every once in a while, it's almost as if you got to kind of manufacture something, whether that's momentum, whether that's goals, whether it's self-belief. And I kind of feel like that really does apply to this group, especially ahead of these, you know, 9 points, 3 games, less than a week, as we kind of, you know, translate this early phase of the season of what's been good, bad, and ugly. And I think you can probably check all three boxes so far to start the year.
So when you're trying to manufacture those sort of things, does it help that you play against a team that even with the very short existence of this organization, it has obviously turned into a pretty good rivalry between St. Louis and Kansas City?
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. Being a kid from Southern California, I didn't realize how much you guys don't like each other. I didn't realize that it does transcend all sporting teams across the board, but also kind of just the cities themselves. So I did the game last year, right before the All-Star break at Kansas City. And one of the local broadcasters, Nate Bucati, kind of gave me a different inside look to what was happening between these two teams, these two cities, and the loyalty to sports and everything else that comes along with it. So I've been getting a crash course on this. But I think, you go back to, I think it was the very first game when Kerry Zavagnin, Peter Vermes' trusted first assistant, had taken over following the sacking and the firing of Peter Vermes at Sporting Kansas City. And that 2-0 win generated some momentum in the back pocket of all that Sporting Kansas City was trying to do. I don't think it's going to take anything. It's not locker room fodder. It's not bulletin board material. This is something that I think every player who wears the St. Louis City jersey and crest on their chest is going to recognize that this is something that is a little bit more important than the other games. And so I'm expecting an incredible atmosphere, as it always is at Energizer Park. And I think in the first 10 to 15 minutes, man, you're absolutely going to see the physicality of these two teams that are going to try to send some messages and ultimately try to force the other, the guys in the other jerseys on the other opposite side of the field to hopefully weather the storm. Because I expect there to be fireworks, not just the goals that we want to see as fans, but more importantly, kind of that physicality, that pure dislike that happens between two teams.
The team will be without their head coach during the match. Olaf Melberg, after getting his third yellow, is not going to be able to coach this team. Does that impact things much?
It does. I mean, I think, with Olaf, obviously he's a gregarious presence, right? He's got the size, he's got the beard, he's one hell of a good looking human being. But
I did the beard. Let's stop for a second. The beard is a thing of beauty, right?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a beard myself, but it's nowhere near the Swedish lord status that his beard is over. I said the moment that he was hired, when Lutz hired him, I was like, that is hands down the best beard in Major League Soccer. No one comes close to something like that. I think when it's weird, right? Because you expect the tenacity and the intensity of his presence. And, even watching the game against San Diego, going back and watching it this morning, the amount of times he's so demonstrative on the sidelines. I think, that could be a good thing and it could be a bad thing. And there's a unique balance of him still being kind of a younger manager, of trying to figure out some, in moments where things are so easy as a player, now you're trying to transmit something that you've done so individually at such a high level. You're trying to transmit this to the collective, right? Of between not just the 11 players on the field, but ultimately, the 25 to 28 players that you have on the roster. So they will be absolutely prepared. His trusted assistant that's been with him for the better part of his entire coaching career is going to understand the nuance of what he expects, but also have the freedom to make the decisions. And they'll, ultimately I think they'll go over probably every different scenario that could potentially happen, but it's going to look different. I don't know if it's going to feel different with regards to that group, because obviously I don't have the insight of being on the training field day in, day out.
I hate that I'm even asking this question, but I'm going to ask it. I'll finish you off with this. We saw this organization move on from Bradley Carnell very early on in a season after they had a historic first year of existence.
Yeah.
Is there any scenario where Olaf's seat gets really, really hot this season?
I think that's dependent upon, where they fall in line with the playoff race. I'll use a perfect example. Peter Vermes and Caleb Porter, the Sporting Kansas City, former Sporting Kansas City coach and New England Revolution head coach, had almost identical records 5 weeks ago. Even going back to halfway through the summer, the New England Revolution, Sporting Kansas City, exactly the same records. I'm not joking. To a T. They move on from Peter Vermes. They allow Kerry Zavagnin, the trusted assistant, to come in. He does things a little bit differently, even though he was a part of that group for 17 years. New England Revolution allowed Caleb Porter 2 more weeks. And in the midst of those 2 more weeks, he picked up his first win. And since then, they've manufactured, I want to say it's 4 out of 6, including a tie. And all of a sudden, they're in a playoff spot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these are the moments. And I know we get kind of twitchy as fans and as media members as we're watching, because we will, and especially, you know, this fan base is extraordinary. But similarly to what happened in Atlanta United, you're almost spoiled, right? Because you started off so well in that first year covering the team and Bradley and everything that was happening. It was such a breath of fresh air because there was this roadmap to immediate success. And then obviously it feels like something, between the players inside the locker room and the pushback of Bradley of who he was, they decided to go in a different direction. Now, obviously he's having a ton of success in Philadelphia to start the season. So I don't like calling for managers' heads, and I'm not suggesting anybody's doing that with Olaf, but I'd like to see a new manager as he adapts to everything this league is and isn't, continuing to figure out as they get players back healthy. And I think Roman Berkey being back healthy is obviously a really important piece of the puzzle. And hopefully the team could see Edward Löwen back in this squad with everything that's been happening both on and off the field. You know, there's some significant assets. And also, I think we all recognize that Lutz is never one to be slow with figuring out a way to find Toyshirt or Hartel or any of those type of guys in the international market. So my feel is that he'll be given the time. I hope he does. But in the short turnaround time, man, I know St. Louis City SC fans are looking for the maximum of 3 points as early and as often in these next couple of matches.
Excuse me, Brian. Brian Dunseth is going to be on the call. It's the Apple TV MLS season pass package. Every game, they do an incredible job. They've got studio programming. They've got the game broadcast. They've got other features and content. It's an amazing package for MLS fans and soccer fans. You should definitely check it out. Brian, enjoy St. Louis, and hopefully we'll talk again down the line.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Looking forward to I call him T.O. Max, my partner Max Paredes and I. We absolutely love coming and being a part of everything that happens at Energizer Park. So looking forward to it, and thank you for the time.
You bet. Thank you. That's Brian Dunseth. We'll take a break. We got more in a moment on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Live. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap up hour number one of the program. In hour number two, we are going to be joined by Frank Cusimano. He's going to join us about 7:20. And then we did this during Redbird Rush Hour. We didn't get into quite as many things as we wanted to. So what I'm going to do a lot in the 7 o'clock hour, both before we talk to Frank and after we talk to Frank, I'm going to play some of the things that Oliver Marmol and Dusty Blake said on the Gas House Gang today. If you missed that, Oliver Marmol only always does Tuesday from about 12 to 12:30. Well, today he brought along pitching coach Dusty Blake, and they actually did about 45 minutes. They stayed through 3 segments as opposed to the 2 segments. And there were some interesting things that were said. And earlier on Redbird Rush Hour, you can always go check out the archive of that. Kevin and I got into some things that were said about Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker, and also some really interesting things that Dusty Blake had to say about analytics. But want to get into some other things as well that was said. So we're going to do that coming up in just a while. We were talking with Mike Farron earlier on the show. We were talking about the disaster that is all things Colorado Rockies baseball. Tommy sends in a message on the video chat and says, "Hey, Rockies, you are more than welcome to have Jahmo Zalak. He's a free agent at the end of the year." I know that is being said like in jest. However, Mo is a Colorado guy. And no matter what anybody likes to say here in St. Louis, who is not a big fan of Mo is a respected baseball executive who has accomplished a lot in his career. Now, Mo has expressed in conversations that he is looking forward to not being in the daily grind of all things baseball. But again, I don't know where Mo's going to be from a headspace point. He may already have his post-Cardinals thing lined up, or maybe he's still set to be part of the Cardinals organization in some, like, I don't know. But if there was a scenario where the Rockies could bring him in as like a special advisor who oversaw a hiring of a manager and a hiring of a general manager and a hiring of a scouting department where he doesn't have to be involved in the day-to-day operations, but is being involved in the big decisions and also putting people in place, That would make the Rockies better right there. I don't know how much better it would make them, but it would make them better right there. They would bring in a respected guy who knows what he's doing, and they would get better right there. And again, Mo's a Colorado guy. So if I was the Rockies, I would give Mo a call at the end of the year for sure. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it as we are into hour number two of the program. Frank Cusimano is going to join us in about 15 minutes, sports director over at Channel 5. We'll get some thoughts from him on the way the Cardinals are playing. Might do some final post-mortem on the St. Louis Blues. We'll see how much time we have with him. Also, in the final half hour of the show, what we're going to do, you're going to kind of get inundated with this because we'll have the Gas House Gang on the replay version tonight at 8 o'clock, and you'll hear the full conversation with manager Oliver Marmol and pitching coach Dusty Blake. I've got a few things, though, that I want to play from those guys from today's show, and I'm going to give you my thoughts on them because I thought they were really, really interesting. So we're going to do that in the final half hour of the show. I wanted to do that. Look, I'll be honest with you. The Pete Rose story, it doesn't resonate with me in a really big way. Like, to me, it's just a really simple thing. Like, Pete Rose was not a good guy. He did something that you can't do, but he was one of the greatest baseball players to ever play. And whether it's Pete Rose gambling on baseball or whether it's other athletes using performance-enhancing drugs, I've always been the same on this. Maybe I'm just overly forgiving, but I have a hard time reconciling that there's a lot of guys in the Hall of Fame that probably did stuff that were never found out, and that there's guys being held out of the Hall of Fame simply because we found out about some of the stuff that they were doing. Well, what if Pete Rose never gets caught betting on baseball? Like, it's a very different world. So my take has always been put them in. If what they did on the field was enough to get them into the Hall of Fame, then put them in the Hall of Fame. If you want to notate in some way of what they were accused of or an era that they played in, like that's fine. I have no problem with that being part of their legacy. And look, if you want to put all references to them at the Hall of Fame in a different area than everybody, like, I don't know. Like, what, I have no problem with the acknowledgement that they did some kind of crappy, wretched things, but I've never been a keep people out of the Hall of Fame thing. So today's announcement that they are changing the rules on who can be on the permanently ineligible list, therefore all of a sudden making Pete Rose eligible for the Hall of Fame, at least for the time being, I don't have a big feeling about it, because I've just always thought that this is a guy who deserved the punishment that he got, and he also probably deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I guess I'm a little bit hopeful that the Eras Committee will select him for induction at some point. It wouldn't shock me if they don't. Now, the way I understand this, if I've got this wrong, somebody can feel free to correct me, as people do when I do get stuff wrong. I'm not perfect. From what I understand, is he's never going to be on the, like, the general ballot that the baseball writers vote on. Instead, he's going to be on the Eras Committee ballot, which is going to be a group of people that make that decision. Right now, I feel like there's a pretty good chance he doesn't get selected, because whether it's the baseball writers or whether it's the Eras Committee, whoever it might be, it feels like they take their roles as gatekeepers to the Baseball Hall of Fame in a very, very serious way. Like, that's a big thing that they do. So that's kind of where I'm at on this whole thing. And to be clear, for those of you who've just been following along with this casually, they didn't reinstate Pete Rose. They changed the rule where if you are deceased, you are essentially no longer able to be on the permanently ineligible list. So therefore, Pete Rose, Shoeless Joe Jackson, everybody from the Black Sox scandal, they have all been essentially reinstated to baseball because they can't be permanently ineligible anymore because they're dead. That's how it is. So it's not like Rob Manfred said, I am reinstating Pete Rose. No, he changed the rule about who is eligible to be that. And what I'll be curious on, if you don't know the history of everything, when Pete Rose initially accepted his ban, his lifetime ban in baseball, to go on the permanently ineligible list, at that point he still would have been eligible to go into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Baseball Hall of Fame is not directly connected to Major League Baseball. It was after he accepted that the Baseball Hall of Fame put in a rule that said, if you're on the permanently ineligible list, you are not eligible to go into the Hall of Fame. There is nothing stopping, and I have to wonder if the inside the offices there at the Baseball Hall of Fame, if they've considered this today, there's nothing stopping the Baseball Hall of Fame to even change that rule to say, if you've ever been on the permanently ineligible list, you are never eligible to be in the Hall of Fame. Nothing stopping them from doing that, and maybe that's a discussion that they have at some point in time. Let's go to John, who's given us a call. Hey, John, you are on Sports Open Line.
Thanks, Chief. I just, two questions. One, if the Cardinals stay at this level of performance, which is kind of doubtful, but you got to be encouraged.
Hey, John, we're talking Pete Rose right now. Did you have anything on that?
Well, sure.
Okay.
I was really specifically talking about Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Okay.
Was he ever accused of taking a bribe, or was he just complicit in the fact that he didn't come forward and really snitch on his fellow ballplayers?
Yeah, John, appreciate the phone call. Look, I am not a historical expert on the Black Sox scandal. Anybody who's watched the movie Field of Dreams knows that Shoeless Joe Jackson in that World Series put up really, really, really good numbers. And you know, nobody can ever prove that he was that he went along with it. I think everybody does have an idea that he is that he knew what was taking place. It's hard for I'm not the right person to ask that question, because I'm not a history nut on the history of the Black Sox scandal. But I do know what a lot of people know, that he is somebody that put up really, really big numbers in that World Series, and certainly did not feel like he was trying to throw it, even though it's one of the biggest black marks in the history of the game. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's the number to call or text. If you've got thought, this is your opportunity to talk through this Pete Rose thing. It's the biggest sports story, I think, today going. Just the fact that he is now eligible for the Hall of Fame. Do you want to see him in the Hall of Fame? Do you not want to see him in the Hall of Fame? Do you think he's likely to get into the Hall of Fame? Where do you stand on that? Again, 314-436-7900 is how you call or text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. You can leave a message on the video chat for those of you who are watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. More than anything, Pete Rose just wasn't a great guy. And Kevin Wheeler mentioned this a lot. I know this is something that Kevin feels really strongly about. So it's something more that I'm sure Kevin's going to spend some time talking about this. They may have gotten into it a little bit on the Dave Glover show today. I would think they'll get into it a little bit more. He has strong thoughts on this. But there are, look, as great of a baseball player as Pete Rose was, he was clearly not a great guy. He admitted to having a relationship with a teenage girl. He obviously bet on baseball. Like there were a lot of things that went on there that made him a bad guy. I have a really hard time when a Hall of Fame becomes the arbitrator of morality. I can think what I think of Pete Rose, and I can think poorly of him because of the moral indiscretions that he made in his life. But that doesn't change him and what he did in his career as a ball player. Same thing with Shoeless Joe Jackson and the entire black. Like we can think whatever we want to think about a team throwing a World Series, throwing a World. Can you imagine that? Can you like that? There's not much worse than that. But at the same time, you go look at the numbers that somebody put up. And to me, that is something that is definitely worth taking note of. And for me, they're Hall of Famers. They are Hall of Famers based off the fact that they did on the field what they did on the field. We're going to try to grab maybe one more phone call before we got to get to Frank Cusimano in just a moment or so. So we'll give Jim the final word on this. Hey, Jim, you're on Sports Open Line.
Hey, I couldn't stand Pete Rose when he played for the Reds and the Phillies because he always beat the Cardinals. That guy was a phenomenal ball player. Regardless of what he did as a manager, they put him in. He's hands down one of the greatest players. Ty Cobb wasn't an upright citizen either. And on Shoeless Joe stuff, it was never really proven. The guy was illiterate. He didn't even know what he was doing. I don't even believe he even kept the money. But his numbers during that World Series were phenomenal. Plus, it was never said that he gambled.
Yeah.
Kennesaw Mountain Landis came down and said they all colluded with gamblers. So he was never really said that he specifically was a gambler, which I've read a lot of books about him, and everything I can tell, he wasn't. And he should be in. The guy was probably one of the best players. He was up there with Ruth and all of them, you know? So I think they both should be in, you know?
Jim, appreciate the phone call and the perspective on that. Pete Rose, by the way, career against the Cardinals in his career, hit .299, 392 hits, 14 homers, 118 RBIs, 187 runs scored over 334 games. And he did that. He did better than that against some teams, but he did that sort of thing against just about every team that he played against. All right, Frank Cusimano, sports director, Channel 5. He's going to join us in just a moment. And then after that, we'll get into some of the things that were said earlier today from Oliver Marmol and Dusty Blake. That's all coming up. This is a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. No Cardinals baseball tonight because of a rainout. Doubleheader of the day-night variety coming your way tomorrow. So lots of baseball tomorrow. Lots of Sports Open Line tonight. And we're very happy to be able to welcome back onto the program. He is the sports director over at Channel 5 KSDK. He is our friend Frank Cusimano. Frank, always great to talk with you. How are you?
Good to be with you, Matt. Hope you're doing well, sir.
Yeah, doing all right. How real do you think this run that the Cardinals are on right now, 9 in a row?
Well, you know, I was thinking about that today. It's not like Sonny Gray's not going to be a good pitcher for the rest of the year. It's not like Matthew Liberatore hasn't made the next step in his career. And a worst-case scenario, Fetty and Pallante will be okay. I'm not entirely sure about Michaelis, but, you know, it's a comeback year, the last year of a contract. Maybe he's okay, and if he's not, there's still Michael McGreevy. So I think that's not going to go away, and if that doesn't go away, then you have a team that's going to be over 500 and in contention with the Cubs down the stretch.
Defensively, they are arguably the best team in baseball. We're seeing spectacular things from Victor Scott II and Mason Winn. We've seen a much improved Jordan Walker in right field. Wilson Contreras is doing a really nice job over at first base. The work behind the plate has been pretty solid this year. Those are the type of things that can matter to Cardinals fans when you talk about the entertainment level of the team and playing baseball the right way. It feels like this is a little bit different this year, that they are doing those things that the Cardinals historically have been known for.
Yeah, it's got a touch of Whitey ball because there's a little more speed, but you're right about the heavy accent on defense and the defensive run save stat. And you didn't even mention Brendan Donovan, yeah, who seemingly makes like a really good play every night. You have the greatest third baseman of all time in Arenado, and Wynn is a comer at short. I tell you, they defend. And then, I don't want to look ahead here, you have this bullpen where you have Kyle Leahy, who's just been majestic. Jojo Romero has found it. There's the possibility of a guy like Graceffo, you know, being really solid. Maton's been good. We know who the best reliever in baseball was last year in Ryan Helsley. I get back to that old Bob Lemon line, the Yankee manager and former great pitcher. The two most important things in life are good friends and a strong bullpen, and we have the latter right now.
Yeah, so Kyle Leahy gets 7 outs yesterday. That's unheard of for relief pitchers these days. And Steven Matz can go give you the exact same thing. There are very few things that are more impactful for a team than a relief pitcher that you're able to use in leverage. So not just a mop-up guy, but a leverage reliever who can give you multiple innings. And the Cardinals have two of those guys right now in Leahy and Matz.
Yeah, it's almost like the baseball IQ of a manager goes up like 15 points when you have a seventh and eighth inning guy. I mean, I've been reading the text to your show, but I know the text that I get. I'm not hearing the Ali Marmol is the worst manager in the history of baseball. You know why? Because he can give the ball in the seventh inning, the eighth inning to guys who can get it to Helsley. It's not like Ali's any smarter. It's just that middle relief, those sixth, seventh, and eighth inning guys just set it up for him nicely.
I still get it occasionally, Frank. At least once a day, I get a fire Ali tweet or text or something in there. But it's a lot less than it was before. So if anything else, from a very personal standpoint and selfish standpoint, I'm glad they're on the winning streak because I don't have to deal with those messages quite as often.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I told you this story, but about 2 years ago, I'm in Whitey Herzog's basement doing an interview for Sports Plus, and it was during the Cardinals' really bad season, but everybody was just horrible on the team. So I said to Whitey, I said, do you think that you would have won more games this season with the Cardinals if you were the manager? And he looked at me and said, yeah, I probably would have. But Whitey's a rare example. In general, I think Ali gets the most out of his team. And you know what? I don't know if you thought about this, Matt, but he really is managing for his career.
Yeah.
Because if they were to really fall off and finish below 500 and you have a new president coming in Heim Bloom, it's doubtful he could keep his job. And because he doesn't have like an incredible resume as a manager and a former great big league career, it's doubtful he'd get another shot. But that's the negative. The positive is he's managing his A off right now. They could win the division, and Heim Bloom could have his manager for the next 5 years.
Mike Schilt had a Manager of the Year award on, you know, in his wallet, and it took him a couple years to get another job. So, yeah, you're 100% right on that.
Yeah, and boy, how about Mike Schilt right now?
He's got a really good team, and say I don't think anybody's ever doubted like the managerial power of Mike Schilt. He's a really good manager, and it certainly helps in San Diego that they've given him one heck of a team to go along with it.
Wouldn't you really love to know like the exact reason he was fired? I mean, like before I die, that's like one of the things I want to know about Jesus Christ, and I want to know why Mike Schilt was fired. You know. That sums it up. Because you look at that resume, I mean, was it because he wasn't great to his coaches? Was it because he pushed back against John Mozeliak? I don't know. I'd just love to find out the real reason. All I know is he's a great manager in San Diego right now.
You're going to get Mo for an interview as soon as the season is over and the moment his tenure with the Cardinals is officially over, and that's going to be the first question you ask him?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, sir.
I've thought Mo has been, like, really loose this year. You can – I don't know if it's senioritis or what it is, but, I mean, there's been some things that he said this year that I felt like has been a little bit more honest and off the cuff than we've seen. Honest is the wrong word. I think he's always been honest, but just off the cuff. I don't know if you've experienced that at all with him, but it's been kind of fun.
Yeah, and I've loved him for, you know, two decades that we've had to cover him because he never – you know, he tells it like it is. I know sometimes he's got to protect players, but I think the most candid line, and it came last Friday when talking about Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker, the runway is not infinite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, heading into a season where we got to find out about these guys. They got to get 500 bats, and all of a sudden they're not hitting. We're in May. The runway is not infinite. That was pretty strong.
Yeah, it is. What would you – how much – because Ali talked about that today here on KMOX. He did his weekly Tuesday interview, and he reiterated the fact that these guys are doing all the work that they need to do behind the scenes, but so far it's not coming with them into the game, but they continue to be optimistic about the work that they're doing and feels like at some point it will come into the game. If you're in his spot – as long as the team is kind of winning games, do you keep giving them opportunities, or is it a little bit of a shorter leash than that?
Well, I think as long as you're winning, you can do that. And I heard the interview today. I think you guys did a great job. It was Bernie asking that question. And I thought it was a really honest answer because Ali's the only one who's around that batting cage, and he's the only one that's seeing them work with Brant Brown every day. And there's always that one impressive stat about Jordan Walker, about exit velocity, how the ball really is still stings off his bat. And Gorman is only 24, and he did have that 27 home run season. If you don't have to give up on him and you're winning a lot of games in a row, I keep finding him playing time. But who knows at the end? I mean, you know, Herrera can't leave, and if Burleson is hitting, then, you know, Herrera is going to be your DH and Burleson could be your right fielder. So we'll see what happens. I hope they come through. They're great guys.
Last thing for Frank Cusimano from Channel 5. Just kind of, can you give me your overall general take on Pete Rose? He's now eligible, evidently, for the Hall of Fame as soon as 2028. He's been on the permanently ineligible list. Now he comes off of that because he's not alive anymore. Rob Manfred changes the rule on that. Should this guy be in the Hall of Fame? There's probably nobody better to talk about this than you, just when it comes to you think about the overall. I don't know. I always appreciate your take on big issues like this, Frank.
Well, first of all, I do want to say that he did everything wrong. He screwed up. Absolutely. He wasn't contrite. He lied about it for years. Okay, I agree with all that. But I'm kind of a bleeding heart Rose guy. I got to know him when I was in Lexington. We did a 3-part series, went to his house. I've interviewed him about, you know, 20 times, and he gave you that Whitey Herzog kind of candor when it came to his team and baseball in general. So I think that as long as you have on that plaque, he gambled and he was suspended from baseball for a long time, then put him in.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that if the commissioner knew he was going to do this, and he probably had it in the back of his mind for a while, and Rose is 83 years old, why didn't you do it while he was alive? You know, I know he screwed up, but he also had more hits and won more games than any player ever. And he didn't do that with steroids, and he didn't do that gambling on himself when he was a player. So I'd put him in, but I'm a bleeding heart Rose fan.
Fair enough. He's Frank Cusimano, sports director at Channel 5. Frank, we always appreciate your time. We'll see you at the ballpark when the Cardinals get back to town.
Matt, great to be with you. Have a great show. Thanks so much.
Awesome. Appreciate it. That's Frank Cusimano joining us on the show, and we appreciate him. All right, this is what we're going to do for the final half hour or so of the show. Again, I probably could have timed it out a little bit better. This is me doing a bad job of planning out a show, just, you know, putting it all out there, because you're going to hear the entire conversation with Oliver Marmol and Dusty Blake in the 8 o'clock hour once the Gas House Gang starts rolling here on KMOX. But there were a few things that were said today that I wanted to give you my take on, and I wanted to just kind of point out more than anything else. So we're going to start doing that coming up in just a moment or so as we roll on with the Gray Bar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. Back at on a Gray Bar Sports Open Line. I'm happy for about 25 more minutes. We take you till 8 o'clock this evening. Just a quick update from what's going on around the rest of the National League Central. The Brewers, they're done for the night. They lose to Cleveland by a 2-0 score. It's their second straight shutout defeat. In the month of May, they are 4-8, and they have scored no runs. They have been shut out in half of their 8 May losses. Things are not going well for the Milwaukee Brewers here at the moment. And from a Cardinals standpoint, just separating themselves out. The Brewers are now the fourth place team in the division. They are now 4.5 games back of the first place Cubs, and they are 3.5 games back of the second place Cardinals. The Reds are the third place team, 4 games back of the Cubs, 3 games back of the Cardinals, 1/2 game up on the Brewers. The Reds playing, they got to be playing tonight. The Reds, they're matched up against the White Sox, a good chance they win that game, but they're just underway. Currently, no score. Cardinals will play a doubleheader coming up tomorrow against the Philadelphia Phillies after winning yesterday. So, you'll hear the whole conversation coming up a little bit after the 8 o'clock news with today's replay of the Gas House Gang. But Tuesdays are always fantastic. Tuesdays, not that it's never not must-listen-to radio on KMOX, but it's like exponentially must-listen radio on KMOX on Tuesdays at 12 noon, because that is the time where Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol comes on and talks with Tom Ackerman and Chris Ronji and Bernie Miklas, and they talk through a lot. And I have very much appreciated the candor and the honesty and the thoughtfulness of Oliver Marmol in these conversations. So what we do on Redbird Rush Hour on Tuesdays is we take a little bit of what was said, and Kevin and I give you our takes on it. And we did that today, but there's a little bit more that was said today that I wanted to go through as well. So I kind of geeked out on something, and I always enjoy listening to people talking about how they lead. And I can't tell you how often I have heard from Cardinals fans and listeners to this show and listeners to the X-Turning show, you know, one of those common lines you'll get is Oliver Marmol is not a leader of men. And I always kind of chuckle when I hear that, because like, even if he's not, how do you know? Right? Like that's, I get frustrated when people who don't know things make assumptions about things. Look, I don't know a lot. I always make the comment that when the Cardinals are home and I'm at the ballpark, I get 50 minutes in the clubhouse each day. Well, that 50 minutes doesn't tell me much of anything. So, and that's access that other people don't get. So if I'm not getting anything out of the 50 minutes, or gain very little when it comes to Oliver Marmol's leadership and things like that, I just don't think that for a lot of other people, they are making these assumptions based off other things, which are probably not accurate. So all that being said, that's kind of the sidebar to this. I probably didn't need to go there. They talked a little bit today about like leadership and honesty and things like that. It started with a conversation about honesty. Tom Ackerman asked a really good question to Dusty Blake about him and the way he handles conversation with players and where honesty plays a role in that. And then Ali took that one step forward in turning that into a conversation about leadership and how good leadership can actually lead to helping players to dream to be more. So really interesting. So let's start with the Dusty Blake part of this. I almost called him Dusty Baker. Wouldn't it be the first time he's been called that? Let's start with the Dusty Blake part of this. And this was him answering a question about being honest with his players as they try to maybe accomplish something.
Yeah, well, I think when you look at like learning velocity, which is what we all want, every pitch, every inning, every game is all valuable. The faster we can execute and demonstrate that, the better we're going to be in the future, the more prepared, the better game plan. And so a big part of that is you have to be able to be square in that conversation with players. And for some guys, there may be a real time limit, meaning like, okay, well, we're not going to make a big gain in this between post game tonight and when they show up tomorrow. So there is some savvy within that process. But yeah, I think it's real. It's hard to build a foundation on what you're doing, how you're creating your strategy, what your game plan is, what your process between innings is, between games is, between bullpens, all those things are important to be, in my opinion, built on the foundation of what's real, what's going on. It's not an opinion-based conversation. It's more like, this is the reality of what's happening, where we're at. What are we going to do about giving ourselves the best chance moving forward with that? And yeah, it's great when you get it both ways, because then you're saving yourself time and getting to the point that you're both going to be at your best.
So I appreciate that from him. And I've always thought that honesty is a really, you have a hard time trusting your leaders and following your leaders if you don't feel like your leaders are being honest with you, even if honesty is something that is not a comfortable thing, or even something that doesn't help, help is the wrong word. If it's something that is critical of something that you're doing, where you feel good about something that you're doing, like we've all had, you don't just want to work for somebody or be led by somebody who's always going to, you know, try to blow you up and things like that. So I appreciate that from him, and he applied that to how that can help athletes become better, because it just sort of, it allows you to get rid of whatever mud might be in there that you need to work through, and it gets you right to the spot where you can start dealing with something directly. So after he said that, and this might be my favorite thing I heard today, Oliver Marmol spent some time talking about leadership, and specifically he spoke about being a leader that allows players to dream of being the best version of themselves.
Dusty does this extremely well. Our Brownie does this well. Our whole staff does. I was doing some reading this morning at a coffee shop, and I wrote this down. It was John Quincy Adams on leadership, and he says, if your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, you're a leader. And when I think of the environment that Dusty and our staff have created for our players, like, he does a really good job of painting a picture of what's possible. When you ask about Palante, Leahy, Libby, painted a picture like, here's what's possible for you. If there's several things that go after the if you truly commit, if you kind of sacrifice some short-term success for long-term development, if you really like immerse yourself in what really needs to take place for you to get to where you want to get to. And then he does a really good job of going on that journey with the pitcher. And there's times where it sucks and it's not good, and there's ups and downs to it, but truly committing where the player feels like, man, you're coming alongside of me for this. That's something that I think has gone really, really well with a lot of our young pitchers and the way they're developing at the moment.
I love that so much. I do. And I think we can apply that to a lot more than baseball. If we all work in jobs where our leaders are showing us what it takes to get us to the next level, opening up that door where we feel like that next level is even possible, like that's amazing. That's what we strive for. If your career, if your job is something that really matters to you, even something that doesn't matter to you, but you just, you're somebody who's somewhat driven, well, then you want to have somebody believing in you. And I thought that was really cool. So that really stuck out to me today. That when I heard it, it struck me in a big way of how that's one of their goals, that they are trying to lead in a way that help players become the best version of themselves. And bluntly, and this is here, I'm going to merge between like player development stuff and leadership stuff, but the Cardinals need to do everything that they can to help players become the best version of themselves. That's not something that they have been particularly good at in recent years. And I don't think it's so much connected to the leadership of the manager or anything. I think it's more connected to having the personnel that you need and having the infrastructure that you need and all that sort of stuff. But anytime they are talking about making guys the best version of themselves and making guys more than they currently are, that's an important thing, and that was good to hear today. All right, we'll take a break, and when we come back, two more things I want to get into. They kind of did a deep dive on using Ryan Helsley in one-inning situations in the ninth inning and why that's important that closers are used that way, and also what happens when there's disagreements among coaches and manager. We'll hear from that coming up in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome
welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Live. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Just a few minutes left here in the program. Wanted to play a couple more things for you from Oliver Marmol and Dusty Blake before we get out of here for the day. Again, you can hear it every Tuesday at 12 noon, replayed on, well, generally on Tuesday nights, there's a Cardinals game. So you can always go back and listen to the archive for today. Since we have no Cardinals, we'll have it for you, the entire thing coming up just after the 8 o'clock news. But found this interesting because there's always a lot made of, you know, as a manager, your voice is the most important voice when making decisions because the decisions fall on you. But you also want to have a staff around you that is willing to chime in on things. And Dusty Blake, sitting next to Oliver Marmol, was asked specifically about when they disagree on something or when they've got, you know, just what the process is like in terms of challenging Ollie on different things.
You know, we're going to be around each other for 9 months plus, including spring training. So you have to be able to be honest with each other. It can't be about trying to be right, which is what he's great at. It's about getting to the truth, getting to the foundation of whatever the topic is. I think we all recognize we've got our vantage point. But we all have blind spots because we can't see this thing full 360. And so that approach, I think, really helps us just get to the best maybe answer to a question, but not necessarily try to figure out, well, how can I be right today?
And for each of you, Dusty and Ollie, you know, talking to Libby last week made me think of this because he talked about the catchers and how they will talk to him in between his innings and discuss what's going on out there. In particular, Pozo was part of this conversation. But also, Libby mentioned to me that now being in the rotation, he gets to spend even more time with Sonny. And how Sonny helped him right away and said, you need to be throwing a cutter. And do you like that too? That interaction, that play between those teammates really has been effective, it seems.
Yeah, I think as long as it's invested, and that's what Sonny is. That's what our rotation is. When guys throw, come out and throw their side between stars, like the whole rotation's out there. I think if you're shooting some one-off advice and you're not watching Libby throw his sides, you're not paying attention to his games, and you just that's one thing. I think what's great about what Sonny does, and really with any of these guys, is they're invested in each other, and so it's coming from a place of not just knee-jerk, this is what I do. It's coming from a place of, I've watched you. I see how the ball's coming out of your hand. I see how hitters react to you. It feels like this may be something that's worth considering or worth looking at. And for the most part, when you talk through that, even if it doesn't always transpire in that direction, like you've at least checked that box and you have less, you know, maybe gray area or doubt in something that you may want to do more moving forward.
So the two things in there was just really about communication. And there's a lot of communication, and whether it's pitchers communicating to other pitchers or whether it's the coaching staff communicating with each other and just being honest and real and having an educated take on things, it's a really important thing to what's going on with this team. And it's easy to talk about these things when the team's on a 9-game winning streak. It's really easy. It's easy to make things look like everything is sunshine and roses. I get that. At some point, this team is not, they're not going to be winning as many games. You go through 162 games. It is a roller coaster. There are multiple ups. There are multiple downs over the course of the year. And really the way that you can be successful is you extend the up periods and you limit the down periods. And if you do that, at the end of the day, you're going to be in pretty good shape. You know, I thought, you know, Frank Cusimano was right when we had him on earlier. No matter what happens here, Sonny Gray isn't going to start being a bad pitcher. Is he going to be as effective? Maybe not. He might fall off a little bit, but he's not all of a sudden going to become a bad pitcher. Same thing with some other guys. There's some offensive players on this team that they're going to continue to do some version of what they're doing right now. And that's the reason to believe in this team as being a team that can continue to win games. They are not going to they've basically won 75% of their games over the last like 3 weeks or so. That is not something that is going to continue on. That is an impossible pace to keep up. But what that pace does is it puts you back in a spot where you're right there next to the Cubs. And not that the standings really matter at this point, but I've never really felt like this team is built to have to fight back from a deep deficit. And they were never in a deep deficit. They were 4 or 5 games back. Now, if all of a sudden that stretches out to 7, 8, 9 games back, then it's a little bit different. And there were times where they were closer to last place than first place. And I got reminded of that often. So they're in a perfectly good spot. They're playing good baseball. They're on a tough trip right now with Philadelphia and Kansas City being the final two spots that they've got to go play in. Now they've got a doubleheader coming up tomorrow. It's tough to sweep doubleheaders. Like playing two in Philadelphia probably doesn't help this team extend that winning streak, but we'll have to wait and see on what's going to end up happening tomorrow. Again, we're going to have a full day of baseball coming up tomorrow. It's going to be a day-night doubleheader. First game is going to start at 12:05. That means our coverage is set to begin at 11:10 tomorrow morning. There'll be a little bit of time, and then we'll get into coverage of game number two. Thanks so much for being tuned in, an impromptu edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line. Have a wonderful rest of your night. Again, we'll hear from Oliver Marmol and Dusty Blake next on the Gas House Gang here on KMOX.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.